Thank you very much for coming to this Bhagavad Gita evening, an evening of Krishna conscious inspirations. So I would like to talk today about my pilgrimage from a very interesting philosophical perspective. I would like really to share what is maybe the most important point of this pilgrimage. I remember when Johann and myself were sitting in the Karuna Bhavan, we somehow discussed about pilgrimage, and I told him my what I do after a pilgrimage, and he was very interested in this. I feel myself after a pilgrimage to be like a person who has received some treasures and who now need some time to unpack them, to look at them, and to maybe sort them out, saying that this treasure I use immediately, this other treasure I will use after some time. This treasure is something which I keep really for relishing later in my life. But this one particular treasure, I really want immediately. Pilgrimage, in some sense, is like a coaching session. A good coach will ask his cliente, the person he advises, in the beginning of the session, that what would you like to bring home from this session? What would you like to take and use later in your life? And then the client will tell the coach, well, I would really like to know how to earn 2 million euros in 1 week. This is really what I expect out of this session, this type of knowledge. So when we go on a pilgrimage, we usually also have a question which we like to have the answer for. We want to take this answer home into our life, use it, and keep it also as a light shining on our path, which will bring us ultimately back home, back to Godhead. So one of the treasures which I brought home is a spiritual realization which I would like to share with you. This realization is very simply put that in the life of a devotee it's more important to gain blessings for whatever he or she wishes to accomplish than to just work on the project on one's own. Blessings, in other words, carry us much further on our way than our own endeavors. Agastya Muni, I want to repeat this for you because your mind is with the child and not with the subject, which is natural when we are a father. This is one of the blessings of fatherhood, that we learn concentration on the child. So the subject here, or the point here, is the blessings. That's what I would like to speak about this evening, is something which can carry us much further in our spiritual life than own endeavors. Did you understand this, Bhakti Ratna, from the words? Mm-hmm. So, this is the subject which we want to talk about. Maybe 2 years ago in India, I noticed that many of the Indian people whom I met were asking me to bless them or their little children or their desires. Bless that such and such desires become fulfilled. And I must say, I was slightly amused. First of all, I thought, I don't think it will work if I give a blessing. Then the second thing is, I don't really think it's necessary to ask for blessings. But because so many people approached me, and have approached me since that time, 2 years back, I became more or less induced, or forced, you could say, to think more deeply about blessings and spiritual life. And as a result, I became quite interested in the subject matter. Until finally I found something which is so profound, and which really, since that time, has changed my life, and has also given a great sense of relief, ein großes Gefühl der Erleichterung into my life. Du schaust mit dem Blick des Englisch lernen wollen, ne? Bist du mit mir? Also
ja.
Unglaublich. At the end of the Bhagavad Gita, I discovered while looking through the scriptures something very interesting, where Krishna gives Arjuna a blessing. And I really believe that in this blessing you can find an answer to your own question. Why is it so important to have blessings in whatever we do? I would like to read to you this verse, and I would request Damayanti to please look for an English Bhagavad Gita. It should be on the shelf, and find the verse in the 18th chapter, text 58. Huh? And bring this to me. This verse is spoken by Lord Krishna to Arjuna after he has explained the whole Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. And it seems he tells Arjuna that, okay, I have told you all the philosophy, but really you will become successful in your spiritual life only if you get my blessings. And there is a way you can get my blessings. It's very interesting. He has given him so much philosophy, but at the end he really focuses the whole discussion on the need of grace, you can say. The the need to obtain grace or mercy or blessings. Blessing means Segnungen. It's not there, Damayanti. Then please sit happily down. I will read to you the translation of. I have another translation here. It's the translation given by Bhanu Swami. It's also very nice. Here's the verse. Machita sarvadogani mat prasada tarishyati ata chet tvam ahankaram nashrosyasi vinangshasi. Lord Krishna says to Arjuna, fix your consciousness on me. You will cross over all obstacles by my mercy. If, on the other hand, you do not listen out of pride, you will perish. So he says, you just fix your consciousness on me and I will give you the mercy which is necessary. I will give you the blessings, if you so wish, to cross over the obstacles on my path, on your path. And now Baladev Vidya Bhushana gives a commentary to this. He says, the devotee, Bhakti Ratna, should fix his consciousness on Krishna. That's the first thing. He should make really a bridge to Krishna, think of Krishna, and thereby live in Krishna. And then Lord Krishna will give him the mercy which is necessary for the devotee to cross over the ocean of samsara, which is very difficult to cross normally. Then he said, Lord Krishna says, you should not worry about this. I, the friend of my devotee, will remove all of those sufferings and I will give myself to that devotee. Thus, the method of practice, sadhana, and attainment, the satya, of the devotee has been stated. The method and the goal is clear. By fixing our consciousness on Krishna, we shall cross over the obstacles of our path by receiving Krishna's mercy. But if you do not hear what I have said, because of thinking that you know what is to be done and what is not to be done, you will deviate from your goal. I think this is very much the case often in our devotional life, that we think, well, it's all right, Krishna, but I really think, let's go be practical now. This needs to be done and this needs not to be done. Such independent thinking in which we might lose the connection to Krishna and his perspective might deviate us. And Krishna, he then makes a statement about himself. There exists no one other than I among living beings, who knows what is to be done and what is not to be done. Only I know really what is beneficial. It's the Gita Bhushana, the commentary on the Bhagavad Gita by Srila Baladev Vidya Bhushana. When I'm thinking about this verse and this purport, I must really admit to you, I feel great relief. I feel encouraged, and I feel also that my worries disappear. Growing older in Krishna consciousness is an interesting experience. The experience really brings with it a lot of common sense, I hope, and a sense of, you could say, helplessness. The helplessness is this feeling, can I really on my own change many things? This feeling of helplessness, happy helplessness, comes also when you are on pilgrimage, because you note on pilgrimage how insignificant you really are. Wie klein du bist, wie unbedeutsam. For instance, when you are with 2,500 devotees in a crowd, and everyone really worries how to move on to the next destination, we all are on an equal level, we have to walk for the whole day, it is very, very hot, there is a lot of dust, both on the path and in our own minds. Then you begin to feel insignificant, and it's healthy, and you begin to understand really that you are very dependent on Lord Krishna. For instance, the last day of my pilgrimage, my very good Western shoes got stolen. And I just laughed and thanked Lord Krishna, that thank you so much that these shoes are stolen only now. By my bad karma, I deserve that these shoes were stolen at the beginning of walking. And then I would not have been able to walk, because these Indian plastic shoes, they are torture shoes, you know, they really finish your shoes, your foot in 1 hour. It's a blood, a pool of blood is there. Even when I got Indian shoes afterwards and immediately gave them to Gaurahari, and he immediately complained that these shoes are not fit for walking. Immediately this complaint was there, because they are not they are Indian shoes. What do you expect? So this feeling of thanking Lord Krishna that, wow, my shoes were only stolen now and not earlier, came from a deep sense of humility. I was not upset, and I was thinking, wow, Sachinandan Swami, you make some progress, because normally you feel just really when the shoes are stolen, you feel like, why this, you know, did this, it was this necessary really to steal these shoes. You develop a deep sense of humility born from the realization of your own being as being an insignificant soul who is dependent on Krishna. And it is here, my dear devotees, where spiritual life really starts. When you can understand that you don't have to take yourself too serious. At such a moment, you become also very aware that you require help on your path. Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami expresses this need in one verse of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where he says, my path has become slippery. Gute Nacht, Moana. slippery means you can't walk alone on a path which is slippery. Now I need the walking stick of the mercy of the sadhus. When the path is really, you can't really walk any longer, you need to take a hand, or you need some stick to hold fast to. So this blessings of the sadhus can help you in the moment where you recognize your own helplessness and the need to obtain help. This mercy of the devotees or blessings of the devotees is very necessary and very powerful. On our pilgrimage, we came to one place which I appreciate maybe most in Navadvip Dham, simply for the fact that it has not changed since 500 years. It's an original place. It is to be found in Belpukur. Belpukur is the place where the beautiful deity which Mother Sachi worshipped of Krishna is to be found, the beautiful Madan Gopal. He's alone, there's no Radha, at least not a visible Radha. There is Radha, but she's in his heart. And if you could look in Krishna's heart, you would see a most beautiful Radharani there. But just for the external eye, he is alone because deities, the old deities were not worshipped with Radharani. Do you know this? It's only since Madhavendra Puri's time, then Ishvara Puri's, that the love of Radha and Krishna was explained, and so on. That's why many of the old deities later were supplied Radharanis by the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas. So this deity is 1,400 years old. He stands there. And I looked at this deity and I felt so much appreciation, and I bought one picture for 10 rupees of the deity. This deity is now worshipped by Jana Nivas Prabhu, who comes once a week to dress the deity in a new way. Many of our devotees are dressing the ancient deities in Navadvip Dham. It's very nice. Devotees, the other devotees recognize the devotees in ISKCON. There are some very good devotees in ISKCON, and they recognize and appreciate this. Anyways, in Belpukur, there is one very old tree. It's a banyan tree. It's my favorite tree in this world. And I hope, Gaurahari, you have made a photo of this. It's the tree under which Lord Shiva still lives. When you come to this tree, Prabhus and Matajis, it's like you enter into Shiva's influence. It's a huge, huge, huge tree. And it may cover easily the space of this temple building as far as its branches and leaves are concerned. So you go there and then you circumambulate. There used to be a Shiva Lingam, which was once around 1,000 years ago, worshipped by some first-class brahmanas. They would put bay leaves on the lingam and pour water and pray for the mercy of Lord Shiva. Now one particular brahmana, his name later became Nimbarka. He worshipped Lord Shiva so well that when the other brahmanas were gone and he was still worshipping Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva actually appeared to him and said, "You have worshipped me so well that I want to give you a blessing. By this blessing, you will actually meet the greatest devotees of Lord Krishna, the four Kumaras. But you must serve the Vaishnavas." Then Lord Shiva disappeared. This brahmana kept the instruction in his heart. That same evening, some guests came. They were all a little elderly. And they told Nimbarka, this brahmana, "Can we be your guests?" "Of course, I'm very honored," said this brahmana, who later became Nimbarka. "Yes," said these Vaishnavas, "but before we can take our meal at your house, we first must worship the Lord. And only when our worship is finished can we actually take some prasadam." So they worshipped and worshipped and worshipped. And the sun came down. When the sun was down, they stopped their worship and they said, "Now we have to go hungry to bed." "You can eat now," said Nimbarka. "No, it is our vow that after sunset we cannot eat." "Oh," and park. But Lord Shiva said, "I must serve the Vaishnavas." He felt desperate. These are such high-class Vaishnavas, and they have to go to in my house hungry to bed. That's not good. So he climbed up a tree. It's called a Nimba tree. I don't really know what is a Nimba fruit. Do you know? Any one of you? Nimba is, it is like, I heard it's like a lemon or something. Nimbu. Yeah, Nimbupani, ne? Nimbupani, yeah. I heard it's like a lemon. So he climbed up the tree, went higher and higher, and then he still saw a little bit of the sun from his perspective. And then he said, must have been a bit Nimba tree, to the sun, "Please rise again. I have prepared some tasty prasadam for my guests, and I wish that they eat something before they go to bed. They must be extremely hungry." So because this brahmana wanted really to serve the devotees so much, the sun, which had already set, rose again. Does this remind you of something? Does this sound familiar in some ways? Rasamuti nods her head. at the no? Someone remember something? It's just like a story of Anasuya, or I was thinking of when Arjuna needed to reach Jayadrat, but Anasuya also. There we find, but Anasuya's story is even better because the sun also rose because of Anasuya's very high qualification. This happens sometimes. So the sun, which had set already, began to rise again because this devotee wanted to serve the Vaishnavas. And then the Brahmana came down from the lemon tree, said, "Now you please eat." And the Brahmanas ate. And when they had finished, there were no longer old men there. Four extremely beautiful Baal sadhus, said the Baal means child, like our Mohana is a child. And they were very sweet little boys. Wie alt bist du, Mohana?
Drei.
Drei, ja. Die waren ein bisschen älter als du. Very sweet looking. Danke. Very sweet looking. And they said, "We have watched you and your eagerness. We are extremely satisfied with you. We are the four Kumaras. And we bless you. Tomorrow in this forest, you will get the extraordinary special darshan of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And they will reveal something to you which is so wonderful that we will not explain it to you." Then the four Kumaras disappeared. Nimbaka was beside himself with joy. He jumped up and down, said, "The mercy, the blessings of the Kumaras have come to me. Now I can see the end of my path is before me." So he came into this forest the next day, and by Krishna's mercy, he saw the most beautiful darshan of Radha and Krishna before him. And then Radha and Krishna said, "Today we want to show you a special mercy. You have become the man of the Kumaras who want to start their own sampradaya, the Kumara sampradaya. And because you need to know something, we will show you something which is so ecstatic." And then Krishna entered the heart of Radharani. It came out as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bah! It's so extremely ecstatic. Radha Krishna disappeared, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I am Krishna who looks for the love of Radha. I will come 500 years from now, and I will spread the love which Srimati Radharani has for Krishna." So this is what Nimbaka saw with his own eyes. Then Lord Chaitanya said, "I wish you to preach devotional service, my devotional service. I will empower you because you have the blessings of Lord Shiva and the four Kumaras." Now those of you, I mean all of you who listen to me except for Gaurahari and Saranandi, and here also two listeners, Manjulali I see, is it? Yes, and behind her Damodar Priya, and Anandini might be on the altar listening. But most of you are grihasthas, and you have many concerns. One of them is something which has to do with our maintenance. And you might say, yes, that was a very nice reminder of a point we have already heard before, and that is that we require blessings. That's very nice. Does this blessings also refer to our main area where we have challenges, and that is our livelihood? Baladev Vidya Bhushana says, yes, blessings are necessary to cross samsara, and blessings are also necessary to, you know, take care of our existence in this world. He says, the first interest of a devotee is to take shelter in Krishna as his main work. And the second interest in the devotee is that he performs his prescribed duties incidentally. Let us ask Gaura Bhavani for this, the translation of this word, incidentally. We know an incident, but what should be, what could be incidentally? Ich kann das nicht so gut verstanden. Hast du noch nicht gehört? Ich kann mal das hier vorlesen. Incidentally, so klingt eher so wie nebenher, aber now the Lord describes the process for the fixed up devotee in 2.5 verses. He who performs all his prescribed actions as a secondary interest, as much as he feels convenient, and who takes shelter of me alone as his main interest, by my extreme mercy, attains the eternal spiritual world composed of unchanging pure knowledge and bliss. Then it says that the devotee performs service to the Lord as a primary duty, and the other prescribed duties for a devotee of the Lord are secondary duties which he does as much as he feels convenient, wie ihm bequem erscheint. So such a devotee gets the extreme mercy of the Lord, which means that in both areas, his household affairs, so to say, or the things which he needs in this world, and in his spiritual interest, the Lord will take care of him. This is a promise to Krishna, of Krishna. Krishna does this in the same way as a loving husband will take care of his dear wife. It's not a burden for him. He feels just wonderful. I can serve my wife and help her in this way to live happily. So in this way Krishna takes care of the devotees who have learned to fix their consciousness mainly on Him. By the blessings of the devotees, this is actually possible. Blessings of the devotees come if we sincerely try to please them, and then they will bless us to fix our mind on Krishna. And by this fixation, this Ausrichtung, if you so want, Lord Krishna is moved to give His blessings to the devotee. This is also what Lord Gauranga said, Nimbarka, by my blessing and protection, you will write wonderful purports, and your work of spreading the teachings of the Kumaras will never experience any difficulty and any problem. So I would like to encourage all of you to take this, I should say, maybe as a word from a pilgrim who returns. Ich komme jetzt von der Pilgerreise zurück und habe natürlich was mitgebracht. It is this deep realization and understanding that in one's life we require blessings, which do actually come by the mercy of the devotees if we sincerely try to serve them. And in this way, Lord Krishna will give us a twofold blessing. The blessing which we require to cross the ocean of material existence, and the second is our maintenance in this world. Krishna takes care of these two, you can say, rooms in which the devotee lives. The good devotee lives in two rooms. He doesn't live in one room. He has two areas of life, in other words. His eternal spiritual cultivation, and on the other side, just what he needs to do in this life to keep his prescribed duties alive. So I really hope that this realization will stay with me and with you also. Blessings of the devotees, so important. On Gopunima Day, we stand up till the chest in the water and we pray to Mother Ganga for the blessings on our life. Before Gopunima Day, we did something special this year. We went to Ekachakra Gram to get the blessings of Lord Nityananda. Before getting the blessings of Lord Chaitanya, we wanted the blessings of Nityananda, and we went there. And it was maybe the nicest time in Ekachakra. It was so deep. Lord Nityananda cried cool tears, like I've never seen him crying before. It was a wonderful, sweet rain which fell on that day over Ekachakra, isn't it? A very sweet and special rain, which washed us, and we all felt washed by the tears of Lord Nityananda. It's very nice. So, Hare Krishna, I'm very happy to be back here. I need one or two days to really arrive here. In some ways, I do not wish to arrive and do not wish to leave this holy place. I just pray that Lord Chaitanya will not leave my heart, and that we can do something wonderful on this project together. something very, very substantial. It's such a nice project when you come here. Ooh. I brought a wonderful new magazine with me, Sri Krishna Kathamrita. A nice picture, I don't know if you have seen it before. Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas. Do you know that it took the barber a whole day to shave Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? The barber Madhu, his name was Madhu, could not really shave so well because Lord Chaitanya was always jumping up in great spiritual excitement, and he started to dance in ecstasy. Because most probably Lord Chaitanya thought at that time of the inner mission why he took sannyas. He really felt, as Krishna, the gopis love me so much, and I must do something to repay them. So the gopis are so much fixed only on me, but I am so fickle-minded. My intelligence is bahushaka, many-branched. It's impossible. You know, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna, intelligence is viel verzweigt, many branched. Why? Because he has to respond to all the different devotees who approach him. To some he approaches and responds, they come to him in Dasya Ras, others come in Sakya Ras, still others in Vatsalya, and then others are worshipping him like lovers worship their beloved. And Lord Krishna is so many branched. He has to respond to all of them. So he said, thought, let me take sannyas and become one branched, fixed. I will leave all my family members. I will leave my devotees in Navadvip. I just become fixed on Krishna. In this way I pay back the gopis, because I will follow the path of the gopis. This was Lord Chaitanya's inner mission, and he felt so ecstatic. I'm following now the path of the gopis, that he actually began to dance always. Madhu, the barber, was desperate. He said, "My Lord, how can I keep my head or my hand on your head? You know, to shave, we need to keep the hand on the head of the other person. And I will make a great offense." But Lord Chaitanya said, "No, do your service." But still it was not possible, because Mahaprabhu always danced. After this, the barber felt very desperate. "I have shaved the beautiful locks of my Lord, which are so beautiful." And he became a sweet maker and a sweet seller. He never ever did shaving. He became Mr. Sweets. Wonderful, isn't it? Because it was such a traumatic experience for him to shave the Lord. You know, everyone cried. The beautiful ladies all fainted. In utter desperation, the Lord Chaitanya would take sannyas. He was so extremely beautiful. And all this was done by this Madhu Baba. So here's the picture. And here is ganz fertig der arme Madhu Baba. kann gar nichts mehr machen. Ist einfach völlig fix und fertig. Hare Krishna. Here's Lord Krishna as a sannyasi. I wanted to show this to Manjulali because she has dressed Lord Krishna in saffron garbs. Konya Bihari today have saffron and like sannyas color, isn't it? Yes, Lord Krishna is a sannyasi. He got his sannyas initiation from Lord Shiva in Kailash. Hare Krishna. Mohana, hast du das schöne Bild gesehen? Lord Chaitanya hier. Ist doch super. Nein, Lord Chaitanya ist der hier mit dem Danda. Und das ist der Friseur hier, der weint, weil er die Locken abgeschnitten hat. Ja. So, Hare Krishna, habt ihr irgendwelche Fragen? Die euch noch im Geiste sind.
In our attempt to get the blessings of the Vaishnava, if in our endeavor we may offend other Vaishnava, will we still get some amount of blessings or everything is lost?
Well, in Bombay, I told the story of one devotee who wanted to get the dust of another devotee's feet, and he just jumped on the devotee. The devotee didn't want that the devotee took the dust. So the devotee A, who wanted the dust, jumped so hard on that devotee's feet that he broke his leg. Then he got the dust. I mean, he didn't immediately notice that the leg was broken. It takes like 5 minutes to notice that your leg is broken. He got the dust, but I don't think he got the blessings. I can't imagine. So you need to please the devotees. When you notice you disturb them, Gaurahari, I mean, I do not know your experience, but maybe you have made such an experience, I do not know, then you have to learn what disturbs the devotee and avoid that. But I can't imagine that you disturb devotees, but I don't know, if you have this feeling, then better learn. Not the same.
Because of our endeavor, maybe we may not respect etiquette to other
people. No, that sometimes happens that you try to not offend anyone, but it's difficult in this world. It's very difficult. Sometimes the social net is so made that when you make one move, another suffers. When you make another move, then a totally different person may not like it. But if you do conduct your life according to Krishna conscious considerations, then see, an offense is really an offense when you have that intention. When you don't want to hurt anyone and just you do something which hurts another one, then it's not really an offense. Ja, Johann.
Welche Qualifikation muss ein Devote oder ein Vaishnava haben, um Segnung geben zu können? Kann das jeder? Oder merkt er das, ob er das kann? Oder
welche Qualifikation muss ein Devote haben, um Segnung geben zu können? Einmal hat Srila Prabhupada, der sehr qualifiziert ist, seinen Schüler gebeten, Shivananda, ihm eine Segnung zu erteilen. Und der Devote hat gesagt, ich glaube, es wird nicht funktionieren, wenn ich... sagte Prabhupada, warum nicht? Du bist ein Devote. Ich würde mal so sagen, wenn wir als Devotis gebeten werden, Segnung zu geben, heißt das für uns eigentlich, dass wir uns an Krishna wenden und bei Krishna um Fürbitte für diesen Menschen bitten. Denn kein richtiger Devote wird jemals sagen, ich bin jetzt der Superfitte, ich tue jetzt die Hand mal ausbreiten und laser da Reiki dadurch meine Segnung in den anderen herein. Also das macht kein Devote, nicht mal ein fortgeschrittener Devote. Die Devotis, die und insofern ist also jeder in der Lage, Segnung zu erteilen. Allerdings werden wir uns, wenn wir bestimmte Segnungen möchten, an solche Devotis wenden, die Qualifikation, die wir uns wünschen, auch haben. Wir werden uns nicht an jeden x-beliebigen wenden. Wenn zum Beispiel ich zu jemandem gehe, der selber vor Lust kocht, wird der mir wahrscheinlich nicht die Segnung geben können, frei von Lust zu werden. Also der so innerlich in sich. Oder wenn jemand ständig irgendeine... Also wir müssen um Segnung bitten bei denjenigen, die wir bitten. Und die werden dann, die solche Segnung geben können, also die diese Qualitäten haben. Aber theoretisch kann jeder Devote sich an Krishna wenden und in dieser Weise Segnung erteilen. Gut. Ja. Fragt Mohana was? Yes. Ja, where do we go to obtain blessings? We usually go to the devotees first. Because Krishna likes to be approached through his devotees. It makes a lot of sense because Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur tells that Krishna is absorbed in his own lila. But then if you go to his, so you don't disturb him so much, but you go through a devotee who's close to Krishna, and he can go. Isn't this what we do if we, like, I know if I was a little while ago in Frankfurt, and I saw the bishop. And so I wanted to speak to the bishop. And he was just getting into his coat. And he was in his own little world, and I was thinking, can I speak to you? And he was clearly not pleased with me, because everyone, from morning till evening, wants to speak to him. He's just trying to put on his coat, you know, and again there's someone. Then later, I really wanted to speak to him. I asked another person, can you not, I understood that was the secretary of the bishop, can you not go to him and say, I'm very eager to speak to him, and I he shouldn't be afraid of me. I'm a Hare Krishna, but I won't eat him or be fanatic or foolish, you know. I just want to have a little discussion. And then the secretary went and they said, well, when he has finished to talk with them, he said he can speak with you for 10 minutes. And it made a lot of sense to go to through someone. And then he was very friendly and he said, I am sorry that I was so putting you off or letting you wait. I'm sorry, but please understand it's that from morning till evening people come to me. And I could really understand, because I feel the same sometimes. Could really understand that if you go through someone, it's easier. And then the someone feels more, yes, it's more right. So he goes through the devotee. But you should know also that our deities are just very special. Radharani's hand is somehow always in this mudra. Radha Madan Mohana. They're giving the blessings when we stand. You know, we are their old servants, especially those who try to keep the project alive, or the devotees who live around the project and who do some service here, like all of you do. You can understand this is a family of Radha Madan Mohan. And you are a little bit more closer than others because you perform service to them and you can pray to them easily for everything. It's a one family. We are the Radha Madan Mohan family. I always, you know, whenever I come home, I stand before the deities, Radha Madan Mohan. I think, now I'm home. I'm with, yes, all the deities are wonderful, but Radha Madan Mohan are best. You feel like this. And like today, have you seen the outfit, Ananga Manjari? What did you think about this golden outfit? It was breathtaking. Come for darshan to the deities. Maybe if you are grihasthas, bring something small for the deities. Would be so nice. You can ask Manjulali. Maybe a flower, something small from what grows. I told to one devotee, it's not necessary to give all this Lakshmi. We are a little closer to the deities, so we should ask what do the deities like, and then something, you know, flower now or vegetable. Agastya is a Demeter gardener, can bring some vegetable, just small, you know, just to establish some banda, a relationship. It's much better if you come like this. Then look at the deity, and then we can ask for blessings directly. Yes, and we should bring some more devotees to see, because sometimes the ceremonies of Ramadan Mohan are all alone. The altar opens and closes. The deities have not seen their devotees. They don't feel so happy about this. I know from Radha Madan Mohan, I know from Radha Konya Bihari, that the deities are happy when there are visitors coming. I know this. The deities want to see devotees and up there. It's just their desire. It's our responsibility to bring some people, or at least come ourselves from time to time. Visit our Lord. Ja, Gaura Bhavani hat auch eine Frage. Ja. There is a general statement that Krishna consciousness can be purchased only with eagerness. It is such a deep point that Baladev Vidyabhushana says Krishna consciousness means one word, thirst. Durst. If you think of it, I have now a wonderful cup of hot water. Wow, it's so wonderful. But if I have no thirst, I will put it down again and not drink it for the rest of the evening. So blessings are the same. If you may even get them, but you will only use them when you are thirsty in Krishna consciousness. And this is, Gaura Bhavani, this is such a secret in Krishna consciousness. Now, I'm just now writing an article which you will also get, and I mean, we spoke about it on the phone. I had a very mystical experience in climbing up the stairs to Balaji. And I was really so eager to see the Lord. We walked the whole night. Imagine we got up at 12 o'clock after only 2 hours of sleep. Isn't it, Gaurahari? And, you know, this was a hot South India. We were sweating. We really needed rest. But now, then we climbed these 4.5 hours. And I became at the end so eager to see the Lord. That's why you are climbing. You become, oh, when will I reach, you know. So I saw the whole path as, you know, I'm writing about it, a really mystical place, deeply spiritual place. I was deeply in experiencing many things at every corner. Then in the morning, after we had done this and we had our darshan, we went down by jeep again, and we saw the path, and the path looked so absolutely normal and so absolutely nothing special about it, an Indian path. But as we walked the path with eagerness, we saw it entirely different. And this is what happens when you walk in your Krishna conscious life with eagerness. You see wonderful things at every corner of your life. When you have no eagerness, everything seems most normal and höchst erklärlich. There is no wonder, there is no miracle. Everything is very easily conceivable. And you experience this, that some devotees lose the eagerness and then also change their attitude towards their whole life. That also comes when we are all of a sudden becoming very much critical. Nothing appears wonderful. Everything is totally explainable and totally reducible. Man kann es also zurück dividieren auf ganz normale Sachen and so on. That's why losing one's eagerness is really the greatest problem in our spiritual life, and winning our eagerness is the greatest gain. It's the greatest gain. It is so great that we cannot even win the eagerness by any, let us say, karmical process. We can't do anything really to get the eagerness. It said not even by thousands of pious works can you become eager. It is something which in some way is very elusive. Also elusive, das kann man nicht greifen, nicht ungreifbar. But there's always the secret tip. It resides in the heart of devotees. You know, they're can. Like I met Sachi Devi and her husband Abhijit. Their whole life had changed when they visited the Tota Gopinath temple. Shrishtikata knows this temple also very well. It's, you know, where we stay, just 5 minutes from there. And there was one old pujari. I don't think we saw him because the anyways, there was one old pujari who sang that one evening the Gita Govinda to Tota Gopinath in such a devotional way that it made such an impression in Sachi Devi and Abhijit's heart that they just told me about this, how nice they saw the eagerness of this devotee to please the Lord. He was not a good singer. He was, yes, he kept the tune, but it was not an especially fascinating artistic presentation. It was an eager calling of the devotee for his Lord, and that changed Sachi Devi totally around. She said that was just... I remembered that also one day we were on Vrindavan Parikrama. I believe Gaurahari was with me, or even Shrishtikata. It so long, and there was one elderly person, sadhu or devotee, and he always chanted Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. And I remember we walked 5 minutes up behind him. We didn't want to overtake him because he was just so devotional. Do you remember this, Shrishtikala? I don't know. I went with someone. And then I don't know also if it was Gaurahari, but I remember me saying to that devotee who came along, we were only the two of us, that's real parikrama. And I didn't want to overtake this, although he was so slow and old. Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. He was chanting like these Brijbasis chant, and I thought, well, when will I make such a parikrama? Only one time in my life, if I can make such a parikrama, then it's a real parikrama. But you know, when you're not eager like this, then you see, oh, this new building, that new building, oh, now we're getting very polluted, and you know, you go all in this critical mood, and everything is so normal. Then all of a sudden you hear the voice again, Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. You become totally disturbed in you. What? Who? What? He sees things differently. He sees with the eyes of eagerness. That's the greatest blessing. Oh. Let us pray for this eagerness, Gaura Bhavani. Then our life will be successful. Gut. Rasa Mukti. Ich höre jetzt mal auf zu lächeln. Go Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.